So finally, after 5 weeks, we have reached the end of the Bread of Life discourse, 6 weeks of St. John. And we could only wish that the discourse would end well. But it does not. John says to us that many of Jesus' disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. And that is heartbreaking to hear. And then just when you've prepared yourself for the story to end badly, we get a glimpse of hope. Jesus comes to the 12 and he asks them, "Do you also wish to leave?" And Peter, of course, responds, "Master, to whom shall we go?" And then you once again prepare yourself for the story to at least end with some sign of hope. And then John gives us devastating news. Jesus, in reply to Peter's confession of faith, says this: "Did I not choose you 12? Yet is not one of you the devil?" And John says he was referring to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Now the story will ultimately end on a happy note, but we will have to wait for that until the resurrection. This conclusion that John writes to the Bread of Life discourse is not merely a conclusion to the discourse. Really, John is ending this section of his gospel, and this conclusion also becomes the introduction to the rest of the gospel. Really, the plot thickens. The dice is cast. People will make choices with regard to Jesus. And this choice will disrupt their lives. And please just remember this word, disrupt. The choice they make will disrupt their lives. This choice will determine eternity. So just as John concludes this Bread of Life discourse, I too want to reflect on this conclusion, and here are my three very brief but points to think about, and perhaps the practical implications of these points too. So here's my first point. This confession of faith that Peter makes, we have to put this in context. See, John writes his gospel with one simple purpose in mind, just one. He warns people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. The word he uses, "that you may believe," throughout the gospel. That's his one single purpose. So he begins the gospel with the words, "But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." This is the beginning of John's gospel. John ends his gospel by saying, "These things are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name." So you see, the beginning of the gospel, end of the gospel, John is mentioning his purpose. Now, the stories in between, so the story of the Samaritan woman, the story of the man born blind, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, all these stories end with people making a confession of their faith in Jesus Christ. All of them. And then you have the 12 making their confession as well. What does Peter say? "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." So this confession of faith is what drives John in writing his gospel. Now, For John, not only the people in his gospel, but the readers, so that's you and I, must come to an absolute conviction about Jesus Christ. Must. In John's gospel, there's no sitting on the fence. There's no middle ground. Either you have confessed or you can walk away. His readers must acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. They must confess and accept that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the bread of life, that He is the light of the world, that He is the resurrection and the life. They must come to this confession. Faith in Jesus Christ for John involves a believer's total surrender to Christ, no questions asked. No questions asked. Either you believe or you don't. Doesn't matter the context, doesn't matter what state, nothing matters. Yes, there are people who are leaving, and the 12 say, we have come to believe and are convinced. So faith involves a complete surrender of the person, body, mind, soul, to the person of Jesus Christ, no questions asked. What is our confession of faith? I think it's a good exercise at some point to engage in. What is my, especially when it gets hard, serious illnesses, unexpected death, broken relationships, betrayal, child sex abuse by priests, cover up by bishops, when sin overwhelms us, what does our faith in Jesus Christ look like? What is our confession? It's a good thing to think about. That's my first point. Now, having said what faith looks like for John, the second point that I'm going to make is that not all disciples get to where Jesus leads. Now, it's very interesting that John says in the gospel reading that some disciples, or many of the disciples, left Jesus. Now, these disciples, they were not casual followers of Jesus who came because he multiplied the loaves. Neither were they the 12. So there is a group in between. There are these casual followers and there are the 12. But John then calls these people who are in the middle disciples. The thing is, they had made significant changes in their lives to follow Jesus. Significant changes in their lifestyle to follow Jesus. Because John says that many of them left Jesus and went to their former way of life. So they returned to what they were doing prior to making significant lifestyle changes to their lives. They found it hard. What did they find hard? Jesus was asking his disciples to make a transition. Transition from bread to flesh. I am the bread of life, but the bread that I will give is my flesh. They couldn't make that transition. Jesus wanted to make the transition from Moses to Jesus. The transition from life to eternal life. The transition from flesh to spirit. And they found it hard. John is making a point that following Jesus in the way Jesus wants us to follow him is hard. See, I told you for John it is total surrender. John does not want you to follow Jesus the way you want to follow Jesus. John wants you to follow Jesus the way Jesus wants you to follow Jesus. And then gets hard. So I have a question for you. When do you find it hard to follow Jesus? I'll tell you when I find it hard. I find it hard when trust is betrayed. I believe in the basic goodness of people. And I trust very easily. But when that trust gets betrayed, I find it incredibly hard. Because I know what Jesus would want me to do. I know in those moments where Jesus leads me. But it's just hard. It's very hard. When is it hard for you to follow Jesus? It's a good question to think about this week. Because as I said, John wants us to follow Jesus in the way Jesus wants us to follow him. And here's my final point. John's demand for a confession of faith in Jesus Christ was really hard in those days. See, most of us are cradle Catholics. We grew up thinking Jesus. The very first thing that we did as little children that parents made us do was make the sign on the cross, right? We know our faith. We have a Bible that we can open. We have a catechism that is bigger than the Bible. And we know our faith because Christianity has been around. In those days, it was hard to follow Jesus because Jesus turned religion on its head. He really did. And these are people who have been following Moses and the tradition for years and generations. And here comes Jesus. And he totally disrupted their faith life. He totally disrupted. Jesus brought in a new way of relating to God. And people were not used to that. He completely disrupted the way they thought about God. Jesus was so disruptive in their faith that many of them left and they went to their former way of life. He was so disruptive that Judas betrayed him. He was so disruptive that the religious leaders put him to death. This is not any light matter. Jesus completely changed the way people think about religion and faith. So here is the crux of John's entire gospel. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ causes a disruption in a person's life, indeed in the whole world. Think about world history. Jesus changed the course of human history. Right? So Jesus really disrupts. It's called conversion. I'm going this way, but Jesus comes and I got to go this way. Jesus disrupts people's lives. Jesus makes us unsettled. Jesus makes us uncomfortable. In fact, I dare say to you, if we have become too comfortable in our faith, something is wrong. As I say in this homily, genuine faith disrupts life. Genuine faith unsettles us. Genuine faith makes us uncomfortable. But that then is a story of Jesus Christ. Let me conclude by just saying this. The conclusion to the Bread of Life discourse, folks, it really mirrors life. It mirrors the life of a believer and it mirrors life of those who abandon Jesus. As I said in the Gospel of John, there is no middle ground. Today as we come to this altar, the same Jesus who is here and perhaps Jesus is asking us, and what about you? And what about us? May our response be that of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced. that you are the Holy One of God. People of God said,